Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Grace and peace in Jesus' holy name, everyone. Welcome to the Sound of Living Waters Radio Show. Sunday night, I'm going to steal a page from Michael Jordan. I'm back. We're back. Fellowship of the Spirit Sunday night. Praise God in Jesus' holy name.
Woo, hallelujah. Amen.
I'll tell you, it was a hard way to go to get back here, but praise be to God that He allowed us back.
It was necessary.
Before we go any further.
Amen. It was necessary.
Before we go any further, let us go ahead and let us give Him some praise and worship and open up in prayer. To the best of our ability, if you can, we'll face toward the temple in Jerusalem. All you brothers, please uncover your heads. All you sisters, please cover your heads. If you are persuaded to do so, and we will face the temple in Jerusalem and open up. Oh, great and merciful God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord. And as always, Lord, we ask two things. We ask that you keep your hedge about all your saints, for we know that your hedge is real, Lord. And as we always ask on Sunday evenings, Father, when we gather, we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, at the very least, we ask that you edify us. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you. We pray that we glorify you. We ask all these things in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, it is good to be back with you again with the Sound of Living Waters radio show. Sunday night means it's Fellowship of the Spirit. I'm Brother Paul. Happy first day of the week. The title of today's I don't even know what to call it. It's a lesson, but it's really not a lesson. What we're going to do today is I'm going to give a brief set of scriptures on the hedge is real, on God's mercy and His protection. And then I'm going to give you my testimony. I'm not going to take you all the way back to today and how I came into the Word and all that. That's not important. At least I don't believe it is today. What I want to give you is the testimony of my trials and tribulations of the past couple of years. Because in that, the Lord has opened my heart to a few things, and I'd like to share that with you today. And then I'd like to open up the floor for questions, comments, or whatever. And then I would like to encourage anyone else that has a testimony to step forward in a brief period of time, 5-10 minutes maybe. Maybe put your testimony on the table. Because this hedge that the Lord says He'll put about us, if we fear Him and keep His commandments, this hedge is real, but it's complex. I've come to see that it's a little complex at times. It's kind of like peeling the layers off an onion, like they used to say. But before we go any further, you're going to hear me talk enough tonight. Let's get into this period of instruction. The hedge is real. And we're going to start this off in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. I have about 8 or 9 scriptures. I don't have a reader tonight. I don't need one. We're going to get through this 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to save the talking for the testimony. And then I'm going to do what the Lord says I should do. And prayerfully, I'm going to be a good listener for quite a bit of the rest of the evening. And I'm going to be edified as well. The hedge is real. 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. 2 Samuel 22. And I'm going to pick this up at verse 21. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show mercy merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. Couple things jump out here, sisters and brothers. The Lord says, to the best of your ability, we know this, we have to be righteous. We have to show works of righteousness, or fruits of the works of righteousness, I should say. That's why the Lord is talking about in these scriptures, according to my righteousness, Samuel is writing, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Because he's looking down and he's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. I've given you something to do and you've been obedient. And now another thing in verse 25, therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. And we know that he's a merciful God. We'll show some scriptures as we continue. But our whole goal is to be favorable in the eyesight and the eyesight of our Heavenly Father, because we've come under the shed blood of our Savior, our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Let's go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, and I'm going to read one verse, verse 6. Exodus 20 and verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It's a merciful God. We're going to see a little bit later that he sent his only beloved son to suffer and die for the entire sins of the entire world. But he has mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. This is not a God that is merciful to the wicked. Some people could say, oh, but Brother Paul, I know the wicked, the biggest house on the hill, all the toys, everything else, big padded bank accounts, the community loves them all, they're the greatest people. They don't even go to church. Those rewards might not be from the Lord. They might be, but if it is, those are rewards that are theirs here on this earth. They have a recompense coming because the Lord, after he kills or lets them die, takes back his breath of life, he's going to wake them up again just like he's going to do to us. Hopefully, we're going to be clean in his eyesight and we're going to make the first resurrection, but the wicked are going to be woke up and put in the back of the line to stand in judgment, to see whether or not they get the swimsuit for the fire. Let's go to Exodus 33. We're going to read one verse there. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. In one verse, verse 19. 33 and 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The mercy of the Lord. Even when Moses said, if I have found favor in your sight, let me see your glory, the Lord put him in the cleft of the rock, said, I'm going to put my hand over you until I pass by you, because can't anybody see the face of the Lord and live? But I'm going to let you see my back parts, and then I'm going to proclaim my name to you. And the name he proclaimed was that he was gracious and merciful, long-suffering, slow to anger. He put all his attributes out there as his name, because it's not about the name. I tell you that right now, sisters and brothers. It doesn't matter what language you call upon the Lord. He knows you're calling upon him. What he wants to see is that gracious, that long-suffering, that slow to anger, that merciful. He wants you to have the same attributes that he is showing toward you. Let's go to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Go ahead one page. Might be on the other page. Exodus 34. I'm going to read 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. We're not concerned with the last part of that verse. The Lord said that the Father wouldn't pay for the sins of the Son, and the Son's the sins of the Father. So this doesn't hold true anymore, except if you're going wickedly and you're continuing to be wicked, then your wickedness is going to certainly go down to your children and your children's children. Your righteousness, hopefully, will pass down to your children, but we can look at the kings of Israel and see that ain't no guarantee. Some of their sons were righteous, some of their sons were wicked. There's no guarantee with the children. The Lord says if you raise them in the way when they are older, they will not depart from it. But there's no guarantee. Give them a little bit of freedom as soon as they turn old enough and watch what happens. You might be hanging by a thread, by a kung fu grip with much prayer through that situation. Trust me. Let's go to Psalm, the 25th chapter. Psalm, the 25th chapter. I say trust me because I'd rather have you trust me there. And then if you get in that position and your young man or woman becomes a teenager and they start getting a little freedom, it's a little trying from a parent's point of view. I'll leave it at that. Psalm 25 and one verse, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. We know the Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked, sisters and brothers. This hedge is real. That lack of hedge is real, too. Some of us, we were in the world. We were ripping and running in the world. We remember what it was like to be blocked from God. And the people that blocked us from God was ourselves, through our iniquities, through our sins. Let's go to Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and one verse. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. If it wasn't for the mercy, we'd have never made it to the truth to have our iniquities purged. That grace, that mercy, allowed us to the truth, so our iniquity would be purged. Go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Proverbs 10 and one verse. Proverbs 10. And verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Because when you're righteous, the Lord puts a hedge about you. And even when you slip up through ignorance sometimes, that hedge protects you. When you're wicked, you have nothing to protect you. When you're righteous, you have one set of standards. Come hell or high water, to the very best of your ability, you try not to waver from that set of standards because it came from the omnipotent one. The one who has no beginning nor end, the one that created us. We have that standard. We stand in the gap, even regardless of the personal consequences, even when the consequences are unfavorable. But when you're wicked, your standard always changes because it changes to meet your lifestyle, to meet your group of friends. Let's go to Proverbs, the 13th chapter. Proverbs 13. And one verse, verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Light. I was dealing with light on my Facebook page this Sabbath. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Our light of the righteous is the keeping of God's commandments. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Sometimes in this world, but always in the next. Let's go to Job, the first chapter. Job, the first chapter, and this is why I named it the hedge is real. Sometimes we read and we read and we read and we read, and sometimes for whatever reason, when we're looking for a particular precept, the Lord doesn't manifest it to us. Then all of a sudden, bam, situations happen, and there it is. Job 1, let's pick it up at verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? This is when the sons of God reported to Messiah. And Satan came with them. And the Lord was talking about Job. And Satan said, well, you got a hedge about him and about his house and about everything that he has on every side. In other words, you're protecting him. That's that hedge. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That hedge. Can't anything touch you unless the Lord allow it, when you have that hedge of protection. And when the Lord does allow it, we're going to see as we continue that it's for our good. It's for our good. Let's go to Psalm, the 34th chapter, and then we have two other places. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I'm going to pick this up at verse 6. Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord is that hedge. I remember when Brother Daniel used to teach about the hedge at the house of Jacob. He'd say, and Satan come by, and he see that angel standing there, and that angel got his hand on the hilt of his sword, and he said, nope, not today. And Satan just kind of mutters under his breath and walks on. Because the angel of the Lord is your protection. The angel of the Lord led them through the wilderness, even though the book says that he talked to Moses face to face out of the burning bush. It still tells you what the burning bush, who was in the burning bush. It was the angel of the Lord. But that's for another lesson. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter. I don't want to get sidetracked into something else. John 14, John 14, and one verse. John 14, and one verse. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sisters and brothers, those of you that are really giving it your earnest, regardless of the personal consequences, to fear God and keep his commandments, you know what that peace is like. I'm going to talk a little bit about that peace tonight as we continue. But first, let's end this part of the evening. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. When the Lord puts his peace upon you, can't nothing shake you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have emotions. It doesn't mean circumstances aren't going to happen. I'm going to talk about some circumstances that have happened to me in the past couple of days, actually, that have not been very favorable to me. But the overall picture of what has happened to me over the past couple of years is phenomenal, and that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. Ephesians 2, and let's pick this up at verse 4. 2 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we hear from people that lack understanding. You're a legalist. You're always preaching about those commandments. Keeping those commandments will not gain you entrance into the kingdom of God. Those commandments were ordained years ago, at the beginning, that we should walk that way. That's the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. There's no great thing in keeping those commandments. It's expected. That's our job. That's our duty. What saves us is God's grace, His mercy. For by grace are ye saved through faith. The grace is God didn't kill us when we sinned. He gave us the opportunity. A live dog is better than a dead lion. He gave us the opportunity to learn about Him and to come to Him. That's that grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith in Christ Jesus, because faith is belief and it becomes obedience. And it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not about works that we should boast. We can't work our way into the kingdom. It's the keeping of the commandments with the proper spirit, with the right moral attitude, unfeigned love, not fake. It might be fake at first. There might be pushing away of emotions of wrath and slothfulness and, oh, do I really have to get up and go help this guy? But as you continue to pray for the Lord to open your heart and to give you what you need to make the kingdom, He's going to continue to soften that heart. He's going to continue to soften that heart so that you can do what we were created to do. Conduct ourselves a certain way so that we can live with Him and draw others that don't know Him to Him through our conversation. So, sisters and brothers, that is the hedge is real. And that's the end of the scriptures on my part for the teaching side of the house today. Now what I'm going to do, I got 7:22. I'm going to give you about 10 or 15 minutes. I'm going to jump right into my testimony. Then I'm going to open up the lines for questions and or comments. But before I go into my testimony, does anybody have any questions about any of the scriptures that we just covered or about God's mercy and grace?
Lines are open.
Okay.
Yeah, so if anybody have any questions, feel free.
Anything at all about any of the scriptures we covered or anything that I've been talking about? Okay, good. I'm going to go ahead and get into my testimony. And I'm going to take about 10 or 15 minutes, then I'll open up the lines. The Lord's revealed some things to me over the past 3 or 4 years. And I am a firm believer that every once in a while the teacher has to take the pedestal away so he can look at the student eye to eye, so to speak. Okay? Too many times we look up to people that have knowledge of God's word and that are blessed enough to teach, or at times cursed enough to teach. And we put them on a pedestal and we think, man, they got all this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Their walk must be so great, so easy. They must just, oh, man, I wish I could be like them. You know, a lot of times you don't want to be like me. And I'm going to give you my testimony for two reasons. One, the Lord put it on my heart to show you that those of us that have understanding that are in the position of teachers and elders, traveling teachers, pastors, whatever the case might be, we struggle just as much, if not worse, than the average churchgoer. Because we stand in front of congregations and we preach against Satan. We preach against his false doctrine. Sometimes our families get attacked harder than other families. Even though the book says that all temptation is common, sometimes it seems like there's a few more at the same time that come upon a preacher and his family. That's why they always say, oh, it's always the preacher's kid. So I just want to keep it real tonight. I want to show you that I struggle just like everybody else, man. And I'm going to take us back. This is 2019. Oh, it was about 2016. My body started going. Having a hard time finding work, living in Lansing, Illinois, fearing God, keeping His commandments. Brother Devin and I, Bible Christians Fellowship of the Spirit Church, things are going pretty good. We're working together. We got our own business. My body's starting to slip. My Crohn's is hurting me more. At the time, I was just seeing The benefit of going organic, I've only been going organic now about 5 or 6 years, and I just really converted all the way to all organic. But my body was starting to go south on me, and it was harder to recover in between work days. The weekend would come. Mondays were just brutal. I was in pain all day long. Long story short, time went on. I couldn't work anymore. I filed for disability. August of 2017, well, basically around January 2017, just couldn't work, couldn't make the payments, was barely keeping up with the car payments, was barely keeping up with the electric and the internet and whatnot. And the more something had to go to the side, and we all understand that well, where you take the bills and you throw them into a hat and you pull out two and say, these two wait till next month or whatever. Well, slowly but surely, the mortgage fell to the side. So it took until about August to catch up to me. And they gave me the option to be out by a certain date, and they were going to give me a check. So they gave me like $1,200. I tried to short sale the house. I was moving to Southern Illinois. I tried to short sale it, and I ran into all kinds of grief with the mortgage company. Long story short, it was going to get short sale. There was someone going to buy it. The mortgage company sold the note to another company and refused the short sale, and then the other company turned around and sold it to the people that were going to buy it on the short sale for like $5,000 less than the short sale. And all that, I couldn't understand all that. You can see how that was working on my emotions. I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to have this on my credit report and all this, you know, why didn't they accept the short sale? And the whole time all this is going on and I'm getting ready to lose my house and all this, And my family's affected by this. You know, we're a little snippier. You know, when you got that, that stress that's on you. The husband and wife are a little more on edge. The kids can feel the tension. At the same time, the kids can feel the lack of things that they used to have before, and they don't understand why. Well, Daddy, we used to be able to go here and get an ice cream or whatever. We used to be able to do this. Well, we don't have the money today, honey. Well, son, we don't have the money today. You know, after a while, all that just adds stress upon stress upon stress. And it seems like the only thing that saw me through this was my faith in God. My morning meditation was sweet. My morning meditation is where my peace, where I could at least start my day in peace. Some days I'd be out of the book 5 minutes and all the stress would be on me. Some days I'd make it till 9, 10 o'clock in the morning because I'm an early bird. I'm up every morning between 4:30 and 5:30, quarter to 6, and I get into my book till the 7 o'clock news comes on. And that was the only time I had peace. And like I was saying during the set of scriptures, peace from the Lord, even when you're going through grief, and you are going through tribulation, and the emotions are running wild on you, and you're angry, and maybe you're spouting off at the mouth a little bit, you're kicking dust or whatever, there's still a peace that comes when you fear God and keep His commandments that was never there back in the day when I was ripping and running and needed to find peace. That peace kept me going on a daily basis. With everything falling down around me, the finances, then they took the truck. Then the car was looking like it was going to go. I scraped together some cash and bought this piece of junk van for $1,000. Guess what? That piece of junk van is sitting in my driveway right now with a minimal amount of repairs. The Lord brought me through that. The Lord had His hedge about me even when I didn't realize it. Here's what another little thing that the Lord revealed to me in going through all this tribulation. We know that tribulation works patience. I prayed for patience for years, and the Lord kept throwing stuff in. I thought it was like stumbling blocks. What He was doing was He was working on my heart. He was giving me patience. But patience can't just be, here you go, like a $5 bill. Like every other attribute of the Lord, it has to be worked. It has to be practiced. It has to be refined. Through all this I went through, losing my body, not being able to work like I used to, losing all my funds, losing all my things, my material things. I came down to Southern Illinois, threw everything in storage. By the grace of God, I made storage payments for 2.5 years or 2 years, whatever it was. And all my things that I had that were dear to me, I was able to keep in storage. I threw a lot of stuff out. I couldn't take it. I had nowhere to put it. I didn't have the money to put it up. They gave me $1,200 to be out August 28, 2017. That $1,200, I got a writer. I put everything into storage. I loaded my van, and I came down to Southern Illinois. Homeless. Came down here with a family of four and my wife, six of us, homeless. The Lord provided. The Lord put a pastor brother in front of me who I had started to get to know quite well, and he said, brother, you're not going to be able to do this forever, man. You know your body's going to go. If you ever need it, you got a place to stay. Put me up for a year. While my kids were in school, my wife and I, living in his home for a year with him and his wife, started teaching at his congregation, became an elder there for a while, till I branched back out on my own with the Fellowship of the Spirit. Then the Lord put me in state housing. The people down in Southern Illinois call it the projects. If they knew what the projects really were like. But they called it the projects, thought I lived in the hood. And these people were generally afraid of people that lived in the projects. And then, of course, I'm from Chicago, and people from Chicago have a reputation of being shysters and, you know, the three-card Molly type stuff. They come here trying to act like something, and they've got Chicago's number down here. And when they first saw me down here, they're thinking the same thing. So here I am in state housing, got my kids in school, and my daughter and my sons are getting involved in the community, so I start getting involved in the community, and the community starts embracing me. And it is a religious community. They're getting ready to go pray around the flagpole again when school starts. They just lack understanding. A lot of Sunday Christians, but their hearts are true love. True love. Long story short, though, I'm in state housing. And just barely making the bills and everything, not knowing what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I have a disability hearing comes up. I've got a lawyer now down here in Southern Illinois who has no clue about my case because my lawyer for my disability up north in Chicagoland area, Nash, doesn't come down to Southern Illinois. So his office knew of a lady down here, and she took my case, not even barely knowing anything about it. So we're piecing together stuff last minute. November 28th of last year, I go to my hearing, and at my hearing, the judge rips me apart. Well, why can't you work? You know, well, okay, I understand your back might hurt and your shoulder and your knee and you got Crohn's, but can't you lay down when you get home from work and stuff like this? And I'm thinking, okay, man, Lord, you're going to show me what I need to do here. And the point being, I always leaned upon God to all of it. I never wavered in my faith. My family did at times, but I never did. There were periods of time through all this that things got so crazy. You ever have in your family where you've got that feeling that you have no control, that you've lost all control? Didn't happen often, but it happened a couple of times where I was completely and utterly distraught, not knowing what to do next. All these different emotions going through my heart. And the only thing that brought me peace was finally, what seemed like hours, might have only been 3 or 4 minutes, I turned to him and said, Lord, I don't know what to do, man. This is yours. You take it. And sometimes I said it just like that. But every time I talk to the Father, I always end it in Jesus' name because our Messiah said to come through him. And then, you know, every time I did that, even in moments where I was so crazy and distraught and almost in tears, when I leaned upon him, that peace that Jesus said that we read about he would give us, would come upon me. Would come upon me just long enough to say, all right, my son, settle down a bit. Now, you settled? Yes, Dad. Okay, go take care of business. Okay, thank you, Father. No problem, son. Talk to you later. And then I go about whatever the situation was of taking care of what needed to be taken care of. And you know what? There was never a lack of money, even when I didn't have an income. Yeah, I had some family members that were helping me out and whatever, but the Lord always met my needs. And like David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen a servant of God nor his seed begging for bread. We have been and do eat like kings in Southern Illinois. Grass-fed beef, venison almost every other night, organic chicken. It's abundant, and it's reasonable down here. It's not like going to Whole Foods or one of the major chains where you're paying through your teeth because it's organic. Through all of it, the Lord had his hedge about me, especially the times that I didn't realize that he did. Everything that I went through over the past 3 or 4 years with losing my health, losing my job, not losing my health, losing my body function, I should say, just to give you a quick rundown, degenerative disc disease, it went from the lower part of my back, it's all up and down my spine. I can walk, I can run if I have to, I can get around, but my movements aren't what they used to be. Like that one country singer says, I'm not as good as I once was. Then I got a left shoulder needs to be replaced. I won't let them cut on me because I got a five-year-old. Then I got my right knee. I believe I just tore ligaments again in it, and I was discharged medically from the Marine Corps back in the 90s because of torn ligaments and whatnot. My knee is just, it never healed right, and it's loose and whatever. And I have Crohn's. And that brings on a lot of nausea and a lot of arthritic-type pain and all this good stuff. But you know what? So what? Everybody's in pain. Who cares? Just for the sake of why I went the route of the disability. But through it all, the Lord has continued to bless me. Now I just bought a house, paid cash for it when I got my disability back pay. Got into the house, got a great deal. It's in Southern Illinois. It's like a Chicago bungalow. My old property was 50 feet by 125. The property I just bought is 50 feet by 200. The property I had in Lansing was a ranch on a slab. It was about 900 square feet. The house that I have right now, it's about 750 square feet, but then it's got a wide open, unfinished basement. So I'm sitting on double the house, almost double the property, but yet the Lord continues to bless me. And I say, but yet the Lord continues to bless me. You're going, what? That is a blessing. Absolutely it is. But he continues to bless me. Friday, right before sundown, the old fridge in the new house went out. Got two coolers, went and got two big bags of ice, threw everything out of that fridge in these bags of ice. Didn't do much good. Some of it, when you open up a cooler, is warm on top. I got a feeling I lost about half of what was in that fridge, and the fridge was packed. So I went to storage today, got my new fridge out, got it set in place in the living room because the opening in the fridge in the kitchen is too small for this fridge. I got to do a little cutting and a little carpentry work in there to get this fridge to fit. But then when I got this fridge here, remember, it's been in storage for about 2.5 years, 3 years. I can't find the top pins. It's a French fridge. It's an older fridge, which means it's got the freezer on the bottom and two doors on top. So right now I got it on, cooling down, so I can get everything in it later. And I got the top of it taped so the doors won't fall off with blue tape. I got to go out and I got to buy some new top hinge pins for these doors. Try to buy them tomorrow if I can't find them in stock somewhere, used appliance store or something. It's going to take a couple of days. So now I'm going to have to be messing with one door every time somebody needs to go in the fridge. I got to be the one that pulls it off, gets whatever out of the fridge, put it back in, put the door back on, put the tape back on. What a blessing. Some of you are going, huh? Blessing? Yes, the Lord is refining my heart constantly. Constantly refining my heart through every bit of trial and tribulation that we go through on a daily basis. It's the Lord working on us. He's giving us what we read about. He told Moses, he's making us gracious and long suffering. He's making us abundant in goodness and truth. He's allowing us to be merciful and to forgive iniquity and transgression and sin. He's allowing us to work on all those attributes through our trials and tribulations, just like he told Moses what his name was, all those attributes. We go into Matthew and we read about the peacemakers and all that, those so-called beatitudes, those attributes of God that he wants us to have. You don't see him putting these things on the wicked to refine their hearts. You don't see those that are comfortable in their way of worship that's contrary to the Bible. You don't see the Lord refining their hearts. Everything's hunky-dory with them. Talk to them. Everything's great. Marriage is great. Kids are great. Everything's great. Oh, couldn't be better. Oh, man, highly favored and blessed. And when you look at it from the point of a servant of God, you see that their life is in shambles. But as saints, the Lord continues to put situations in front of us. He continues to allow us to flourish and grow in his peace and his mercy and grace. As long as, like we read about today, we stay true to him and we fear him and keep his commandments. So right now at the house, I haven't walked around yet, but I'm going to walk around a little bit just as we're talking, maybe go on my front porch or something as we continue with this night. I'm in the house. The house is a mess. It's a shambles. We're slowly but surely putting things away, and it's starting to take the shape of a home again. But then again, this has always been a home, whether I was homeless, whether I was in Lansing, whether I was in the projects in state housing, or whether I'm here. I've always been home. We've always been a family with the place to put out, to have a roof over our head, because God has his hedge about us. And as long as you don't skip a beat, especially as head of house, or as the wife, as the mother, don't skip a beat. When things are going south, know that the Lord knows better. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. But everything that's been revealed to us is so that we might keep every point of the law that's been revealed to us, so that we might keep that hedge about us and stay under his care and protection. So sisters and brothers, that is my testimony from the past couple of years. I hope that it has at the very least been edifying, and I'm going to go ahead and yield the mic and open it up for questions and comments. And then I'm hoping someone else is going to step up and give me some edification tonight, because I talk way too much. It's good to be back, and I yield the mic.
Wonderful testimony, man. Time, perseverance.
I don't hear you.
You don't hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, that was a great testimony, man. That's just the patience of the Spirit. That's just the fruit of the Spirit, of patience, man. I'm sure throughout that time you was having your anxiety attack, and it was the spirits was attacking you and having you thinking that, you know, things wasn't looking good. But you know, through all of that, the Lord just showed you just a little bit further. It's a light at the tunnel. You can see the light. He always show you it's a light. You see it? It's a light right there. Just hold on, just a little bit longer. And when you do, the Lord rewards you. He rewards you. And that's a great testimony, man. I mean, from the top to the bottom, man. I mean, as far as, you know, physically and spiritually and how the Lord brought you from one place to another so that he can make you better, make you stronger, you know. Who knows, man? Maybe that other place is the reason why you were getting sick. So now the Lord has put you in a new place to be free. Praise be the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The mics are open. Anybody have any testimonies they'd like to share? Amen.
Anybody? All right, babe, you want to share one? Want to share one? The mics are open.
No.
You can't force anybody to think.
Well, no.
You got a testimony you want to give?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, man, you know, when I was listening at the witness, man, I was just saying, wow. You know, it was, I had a situation similar, you know.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And I got hurt, broke my kneecap, and I had a position, a driving position, I don't know, maybe 7 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same route. You know, and then the minute I got hurt, you know, go back, get to work, you know, you're not going to work on a broken knee. And I went back to work after, you know, I got healed, and, you know, 6 months later, my route was gone. And, you know, the guy that I, you know, dispatched that they hired, never drove. They don't know. He don't know nothing about driving, anything to that effect. So, you know, I'm like really insulted. All this time they put in. And, you know, I'm figuring they playing these games. You know. How you give my route away and I get hurt? How you do that? I could see if I was late. I could see if, you know, so you was getting written up or something like that, but, you know, you get hurt, you know, that one. And that's what went down. And then eventually, you know, ended up leaving that company, man, because it wasn't making any hours anymore, you know, stuff like that. So it scrolls me out. So I didn't work for a minute. I said, you know, I'm going to take this time off. You know, I've been in the workforce for a minute. So I said, I'm going to take this time off and just really recover, you know, get it together. Same time, dealing with these things, dealing with children, dealing with, you know, trying to get these children in order and stuff like that. And you're dealing with exes and things like that.
In and out of court.
Right? Yeah.
In and
out of
court.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Once
you know.
In and out of court once a month.
It just was ridiculous, man. You're talking about stressed out. But the God of Israel was showing me, man, they only trying to layer, kept just trying to layer you so that you, you know, can't feel the peace. He just kept saying they're trying to layer it. They're trying to layer it. They want to put layers on you so you can't feel the peace. And, you know, I was falsely accused on a lot of things, man, even in prison. And they said that, you know, when I was locked up, they said, man, you ain't good enough, you ain't this and ain't that, you know. Of course, you know, I was in that fasting and praying and things.
Well, nobody don't know you got locked up, baby.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh.
It was a lie. But anyway, the Lord said he got me out of there. And they were looking around, how you getting out, man? I was like, well, told you. It was like unheard of. And been home ever since. But that was a thing for me because I got a chance to sit in and listen at the brothers. You know, and had some studies and things, man. And, you know, it was interesting. You know, people come to your cell for scripts. I mean, for real, first thing in the morning, man, I read that lesson, man. That was awesome. You know, I mean, it didn't matter who it was, white, black, they was on me. That was something, man.
Okay.
I didn't know that was, you know.
Yeah, you came home with a bunch of lessons on napkins. He wrote down a bunch of lessons on napkins. Okay. Amen.
Yeah, I do. I got a bunch of lessons on a bunch of napkins that I wrote, and I got them in a Ziploc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And the Lord showed me that Bible code.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how much I had it until the dude that was in the cell with me.
Mm-hmm.
I taught him the Bible code, and he saw it, and he was able to teach me. Then I knew I had it.
Amen.
He's like, I'm like, man, nah, I ain't gonna be. So, gotta. And, you know, things are what they are. Father been blessing. So I had to start over again and get back in the workforce and so forth and made it. I thought was a good career move, and it didn't work out. But the Lord had us. My brother came through. Family, man.
Family, oh my God. Family, all the family came through.
I love my family. I love
Amen.
My Sound of Living Water family.
Amen.
I love my physical family. Y'all in there.
Yes.
And it was a trial, you know, but then it was a learning curve, too, on so many levels. But then it was like, you know, you could almost feel like the Lord just said, get out of here.
Amen.
Getting back. Made a couple of career moves, and I said, man, you know what? When I first got back, I got with this outfit, man. They were working me like a Hebrew slave, Jack. I mean, I was putting in 1,000 hours a day. I don't even know how I was doing it. It was like I was working like 4 days in one day. And I couldn't even, I wasn't no time to study, no time to read, no time, you know. I could meditate all day long. I had no time to research. And it wasn't working out. It was plain to see. And then the Father blessed me with another situation. And now I got all the time in the world in the research. I even got an office now to research. You know, I could just research till I'm researched out. I could just research until I'm tired, and then I can lay down and go to bed, take a nap. It's really the Lord really is really blessing, and I just want to say, man, you know what? You're right, and then whoa. And then I got to tell you, this sister, her name Tasha, man, she's my prophetess, she's a prophetess, right? Been knowing her for years, right? And so she said, yeah, you had this. She said this a long time ago. Said, you know, I was gonna go do something like very similar to this, and that, you know, it was a Dr. King situation, and da da da, and then. You know, you're going to come out, and then it's going to be a whole lot of people waiting, right? Well, I didn't know it was so many people that was waiting on us to get back on the ground with the Sounds of Living Water.
Oh, from the break we took?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that it was so
yeah,
many people that.
Just like on Wednesday, brother, we couldn't get into the Sounds of Living Water, and everybody was like, ding, ding, my messenger was going off like, what happened? Where's the lesson? I'm like, oh, my God. They're like, isn't there a lesson in that? I'm like, yeah, but we can't get in the room for some reason.
Yeah.
We're locked out.
But it was
yeah,
amazing. She said there's going to be a lot of people waiting,
yeah.
And they're going to be waiting on you. And, da, 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 da. And that was like a part of it, you know, that
yeah.
part of that. Yeah. So you know, and it was something else in there. She said it was something about persecution and so forth.
Mm-hmm, like you were on
the phone. Right.
Nails.
And, but the Lord was going to set you free and deliver you yet. And so, and then the Lord just revealed some of that, you know, even to this day. So I'm just saying, man, you know, amen. You know, the Lord is working and he's doing his thing. And I just want to say hallelujah, and I have a lot to be thankful for and give praises for. And I just don't give enough praises because, I don't know, maybe I just don't know how I say that. I could praise, but I don't know how.
No, you do know how, because you told me when I was in the truck with you the other day that, see, baby, you hear this song? See, and I said, ooh, hallelujah. I was in the back of the truck. I was like, ooh, I like this song. You said, see, this is how I praise the Lord. I be listening. I don't listen to what you be listening to, all that, oh, Jesus, you know. But you said, you see this song? This is how I praise the Lord. I feel him in this music. I was like, oh. So then I got it. When you said that, I understood. So now I won't be harping on you like, come on, hallelujah. How don't you feel that, baby? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm crying and stuff. And you looking at me like, okay. But I understood. So we all feel the spirit and catch it at different times and different music. Actually, music, what? What does music do for one?
It sets you free.
It sets you free, whatever, for people.
It calms you out. It lifts your soul, or it can turn your soul. It can, you know, music is a powerful force.
It is.
Not to get away into that, but
no,
just, you know, but yeah, you know, but yeah, it's a lot to be thankful for, especially
mm-hmm.
even this day. And the Lord told me, man, you know, he said, a city without a vision, perish. Well, I see nothing but, you know, tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm not saying that tomorrow's guaranteed. I'm just saying there's a vision.
Amen.
So I thank him for the vision and at least giving a vision.
Amen.
Oh, I hope I ain't letting the cat out the bag.
I hope you're not either. No, what is it, babe? What?
I'm working on my sister. No, okay, I ain't going to do that.
What? Oh, well, yeah, you can
say it. I ain't going to do that. Yeah, maybe it won't.
When they see it, then you can say it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, we there, right? So the Lord is showing us, you know, hey, also, we're getting our studio certifications and all that good stuff, man, and editing and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they got out of family. Wow.
Amen.
Family is involved.
Amen.
Yeah, it's finna go down. We got to do it. And those of us been sitting up there saying, why are you on the women theory? Well, yeah.
All the women in the church, they want to know why you talking about women.
Because it's
just
giving.
Women.
Well, yeah, because we never talk about y'all.
And no,
you don't. Wait a minute. And then the other thing is that it gives me more time to work on my word.
Right, but.
So it's a real good topic.
Yes.
So, and not only that, because I get to go in places that nobody go.
Amen.
And then at the same time, it gives me a chance to work on my world history topic. So when I get done with the women in the church, I can say, okay, yeah, let's go world history.
Yeah, but we still do need to talk to the women. That's a serious thing.
But I mean, I can see why the Father got me on the ground.
Yeah, especially at summertime, too.
Yeah, it's a lot going on in the world. So with that being said,
your testimony?
Yeah. So that's my testimony, man. And y'all just keep praying for your brother. I'm praying for y'all, man. I mean, so serious. And are you on mic?
Amen.
Praise be to God, brother. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, sisters and brothers, these trials and tribulations are real, man. These things are real. Brother, blowing your knee out, not knowing where to turn next. Man, and the whole thing with the prison, I never knew about any of that.
Nope,
it reminded me of Joseph, though.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I don't mean to cut you off. Forgive me, Brother Paul. I just want to say this really quick.
No.
No one knew. And I thank the Father because Brother Isaiah and Brother Nakomi, they were the only ones that knew, and one other person, three people knew. and whoever else threw him in prison, but they knew and they took it over. We still kept the lessons going. Everything stepped. Isaiah and Brother Nakomi, they kept it going. They for those
Praise
two
God.
And a half weeks, they kept doing the lesson. Nobody knew, and I knew the people that did it. They were like, "Well, how is his ministry still going on? How is the Lord's ministry still going on when he's locked up?" You know, and it was on his birthday. You know, his birthday fell on the Passover, so they knew that it was his birthday weekend, and it was the Passover, and he was supposed to be teaching. And those brothers stood up and they taught for the feast days. Nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Praise
so,
God.
God is
Praise
good.
God.
Yeah, God is good.
Praise be to God. Yeah, it reminded me so much of Joseph. Really did. Really good.
Praise God.
Got people coming to you for lessons and looking, what do you want me to read next, teacher?
Right.
That's just awesome.
Right.
That's off the chain. That is all. That, you know what? I sometimes think about what would happen if I did something where I ended up going to jail. And it'd be that. That's exactly what I envision, man. People coming to myself saying, hey, man, what about this? What about that? What do you mean this is like this? Can you show that to me again? I was telling this guy, but I forgot about that one scripture you were saying about this, that, or the other. Beautiful, brother. Phenomenal. Praise be to God. We are definitely glorifying him tonight. I yield the mic.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, bro.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Questions
anyone
and
else?
Or comments or
anyone
testimonies.
Else?
Anyone else have one? Come on. I know the Lord has been merciful to others besides Brother
yes,
Job and myself
has.
And Sister Raya.
Yes, he has.
What might seem like a small, minute
that.
Blessing to you would be a huge one.
Well, I just want to say this really quick, that I just thank the Father that I still have the breath of life in me and that I thank him for you brothers, like Sister Mary and I were saying earlier today, this morning, with Nakomi's lesson, which was the bomb. We thank the Father for you brothers. We thank the Father that we had this opportunity just to be alive today, because all the stuff we've done and the things I'm learning, I'm only 40-something years old, but the things I'm learning, I should have been stoned to death or killed, you know. The synonyms when my husband makes me read the synonyms, not makes me, but when he asks me to read for him and read the synonyms, when I'm reading the synonyms, I just get chills up and down my spine like, OMG. Wow. Mm-hmm. I did not know this, Jesus. But now I'm held accountable because I know. So I'm just really treading lightly. I'm really walking on eggshells. I'm spending a lot of time with myself. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm just really looking at myself. And some of the stuff that the Lord is allowing me to see within myself, I don't like. And I just thank him that he's given me the opportunity to clean myself up. And every morning that he allows me to wake up, I look in the mirror at myself, directly at myself, and say the Lord's Prayer and say, Lord, please, that, what was it, Jabez? Is it Jabez? The prayer of Jabez, saying, keep evil far from me, that it will not grieve me, you know, enlarge my territory, my borders. Just praising the Lord, and the Lord blessing me, said, and he granted him his request. So I said, Lord, you know I love you. I'm eating off your table. I'm not eating off of Satan's table. I refuse. I don't want to. I know he's going to try to set something up somewhere down the line today. But please, Lord, let me pass the test. Some days I make it, some days I don't. I don't know. But I just thank him that every day he allows me to wake up, that's another opportunity for me to get it right and to do better. That means that I still have a fighting chance in Jesus' name. So I thank him for that. And I just want to be a better woman. And I used to use that phrase. Everybody said, I'm a virtuous woman. I'm this, I'm that. No, no, no. I'm striving to be that virtuous woman, that Proverbs 31 woman. I have a ways to go. I'm going to keep speaking into existence. I'm going to put my scriptures up all over the wall, my positive affirmations. But I'm praying to God that he has mercy on me and finds me worthy to make it into his kingdom. He knows I love him. And now I just want to say, too,
the more I'm reading and the more I'm fasting and praying, I actually can see the devils. I can actually discern the spirits. I see it. I even feel it when it's around me or on me. And so I just immediately go into the Lord, rebuke thee, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and get this unclean spirit off of me, from around me. And sometimes I just be still and be quiet, and I just pray in the privacy of my mind. And it leaves. It actually leaves. It actually stops. Whatever the issue is, it actually just stops. If you don't feed into it, it stops. So my testimony is I just thank the Father. I thank the Father for allowing me, every day that he allows me to wake up, to get closer to him and to kill this flesh and renew the spirit daily in him. I want to be like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be like Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to say a few words? What might seem like a small, minute little thing to you might seem like a big, huge miracle to somebody else. Much edification. Anybody?
Oh, yeah. Through all of this, Brother Paul, I had to bring this up. I had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, that 5 grandchildren? It had 2 girls and 3 boys.
Mm-hmm.
During this whole time, 2 girls and 3 boys. Is that for grandchildren?
3 girls.
Three girls. Is it 3?
3 girls.
Where did you get 3 from?
Are you talking about that Ernest and Kiara and Jeff?
I'm talking about the last group.
Oh, you're talking about the last group?
Yeah.
Of the grandchildren, of all the grandchildren together as a
I'm
whole?
I'm just talking about the last group that just came out.
You just had one group that came out by herself, and that's Yeva.
Okay,
Yeva,
I'm not.
Yeva's
like right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she was
right.
Born 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Right, okay.
So at, before Yeva, you had 3 born a couple of weeks apart at the same time.
About a year ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a year.
It's been a year, right. So it's still good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And now we're having another one on his or her way in January.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But all together, there's 11 grandchildren. Hopefully 12 in January.
And,
Yeah.
And I got a chance to kiss all of them.
Yes. You actually got a chance to kiss all of them and spend time with them. So that's a blessing, being a grandparent.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Amen. We pray for many more. Amen. And we get to say, nah, not today, or we want our grandbabies, or okay, it's time for you to go home.
Right.
So, man, parenting is a lot of work. That is a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? It wasn't that, me, because I had my 4 girls, it wasn't that much work. I was so, I guess I was just really organized. Nowadays, everybody's complaining. They got one baby. They just, I need some time to myself. Oh, this is too much. Oh, this new millennium parents. I'm like, what is wrong? Oh, I can't take the bus. Oh, I need a ride. I was on a bus with 4 children, 2 strollers, and some groceries. I'm just like, woo.
Times have changed.
Yep.
Times have changed.
God that he hasn't.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Man, you think that was tough. I used to have to carry all my children and my wife on my back. When we all went to the store.
In 2 foot of snow, uphill both ways.
And I still put parking money in the parking meter.
Okay, anybody else at all? Anybody?
Yeah.
Does anybody want to step up?
Just say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank you for my life. Thank you for my family, my children.
Amen.
But, hey, we're not going to force you guys if you don't want to, but your mics are open.
Or.
Shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, Queen.
Shalom.
Shalom. I just want to say God
Shalom.
Is good, and I thank him for the breath of life. I thank him for my children, my health, my strength. I thank him for who he is. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. There you go. The rock.
Praise be
out,
to
so
God.
We. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen.
We'll have to get Sister Rachel to do another one of them praise dance.
Oh, yeah, the praise dance.
Oh,
we
sure.
We got that on video. She
oh,
still have a
sure.
CD.
Ah, yeah.
For praise dancing.
Ah, yeah.
I think some of the children never seen someone do a praise dance before. I remember that.
That's one of my
yeah,
favorite.
Yeah, Kayla was like, what is Sister Rachel doing? I said, it's called
that's
praise
my
dancing.
Favorite. That's one of my favorite praise dances of all time.
This is Rachel. Can you do a praise dance at the barbecue?
I can do a hallelujah dance at the barbecue.
There we go.
That sounds good, too.
All right.
I'll join you, amen.
All right, we're going to get one.
Yeah, you could take me and her live.
Hallelujah
you could
line.
Take me and her live doing our hallelujah dance.
Hey, get a hallelujah yeah. line going.
Get a hallelujah. Yeah, let's get
put
a hallelujah line.
Put it up on Facebook.
Line. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going to do it, Sister Rachel. We're going to do a hallelujah dance line, Soul Train line.
Oh, my Lord. God. Just watch the food.
Amen. Anyone else? No?
Nope.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace, Shalom. Brother Obadiah. Hey.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to give thanks. Obadiah.
That's Obadiah, everyone. That's the one that created the Sound of Living Waters theme song. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey.
Praise be to God.
Yes. That's Brother Obadiah.
Obadiah.
Hello.
Hi, Marla.
How you doing?
That's Sister Denise. Oh, she can
oh,
say hi,
good.
Marlon.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh. Hey, Sister Denise.
What were you going to say, Brother Obadiah?
I'm serious. I did know that it was Denise.
You what?
I did know that was Sister Denise.
Oh, no, yeah, that's Sister Denise.
Yeah, I knew, yeah.
Oh, you did know. Sorry. My bad.
All in their comments.
I'm all in your Kool-Aid. Okay.
It's all right. I just want to say thank you for family and friends and just keep them in great strength and knowledgeable and keep them in the Most High's hands always.
Amen. Always.
Amen.
Always.
Yeah,
yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for my brother Obadiah and giving him a great recovery.
Amen.
And giving us a reason to pray for him by scaring us the bejesus out of us. But He just gave us more reason why we should pray for each other even more. So I love you, man, and don't ever scare me like that again.
I do, what
he talking
about? What did I do?
What that is?
Oh, you found yourself in a hospital.
Oh,
when the Lord delivered him.
Yeah, that was a quite a scare.
Yeah,
but, you know,
that
you
was
a scare. Calm on your life. Can't nothing touch you.
Amen.
Nothing touch you.
Well, anyone else have a testimony or something that they would like to share? Or maybe a blessing or a word for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a word for the group.
Amen.
That's here.
Amen.
Oh, okay. Well, Brother Paul, you got any closing comments? And you want to pray us out?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, you know, during times of trial and tribulation, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I conveyed, I didn't want to give the appearance that when I said I'd leaned upon God the entire time, all my peace came from my morning meditation and all this. And that was absolutely true. But there were periods of times that I fell short. Periods of times that, at least in my conviction, I fell grievously short. But like the book says, a righteous man falls down seven times and gets back up again. And that's what we try to do. We strive to be righteous in God's eyes so that when he accepts that shed blood of Messiah, we are up underneath it and we're covered by his blood. Trials and tribulations, sisters and brothers, is a way of the Lord. He uses that to purge us. He uses that
Amen.
To make us perfect. And we have
That's
to
right.
respond in kind. We have to the best of our ability, continue to keep
Amen.
Your trust at his feet, to throw yourself at his grace and mercy, and allow him to deal with that spiritual wickedness by taking on that whole armor. And remember, time and chance happens to all. Never when you're going through a tribulation, and I made sure of this, never, oh, Lord, why me? Why not you?
Right.
You're a saint of the Most High God with a hedge of protection and an angel encamped about you. Why not? It should be us and not anybody else. It should be us. And if you're
Come
faithful
on,
and you're serving him, it will be you. So stay sober and stay vigilant. Next Sunday, God willing, we're going to pick up the series, if you will, or the doctrine of love. And we're going to get back into 1 Corinthians 13 next Sunday, God willing. Until then, sisters and brothers, stay close to him, and he'll stay close to you. Grace and peace in Jesus' most holy name. Read the book. I yield the mic.
Amen.
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 Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. You can catch your brother Paul here every Sunday evening at 7:00 p.m. Bring in that gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
tonight.
Good
he made
stuff.
Me, I thought he was a black man tonight.
What?
Those Chris, he was banging. I was like, oh, my God. And he was on fire. I was
man,
like,
she
Jesus.
Said you was brutal. You was Hebrew.
Yeah, no, he was. He was on fire.
She said
he was like, bam, bam. He was on
it
point
was,
with the scripture.
Man.
I was
fire.
Like, what?
Fire. Fire.
Like, oh, my God. I reposted them on my wall. I know people are like, how many scriptures are you going to put up?
Man.
Those are some banging scriptures.
Hey, hi, Jan.
Yeah.
Love
Brother that. Paul, you did an awesome, awesome. You, I mean, all your lessons are banging, but tonight, for some reason, that Holy Spirit, it was just like, it was shut up in my bones. I felt those scriptures.
Man.
So I was rejuvenated.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
I felt the love of being back in the saddle.
Amen.
Man. Hey, get back on the grind for Jesus, boy. I mean, not that we wasn't. I'm just saying, you know, this is a part of the ministry, too. Hey, if Lord give you work to do, man, it's a part of your crown. You know that vineyard. Hey, you got to get in it. You know it. True husbandmen know that. So, hey, everybody, catch our brother here, Paul, every Sunday evening here at the Sound of the Living Water. At 7 o'clock p.m. on this Fellowship of the Spirit Bible study class. Are we having the
tomorrow?
Tomorrow evening?
Isn't it on Monday? We're going to do
yes,
that?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
It is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be announced, the reading
room. Yeah, reading the Bible.
Right, Impossible in the Bible.
Yes, tomorrow, that's it.
Yeah, that would be Sister Rhea, the Commonwealth of Israel, and Isaiah Brown of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class out of here. So as we just want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And we just hope everybody, you know, we praying and hoping that your burden, you be free from your burdens too, and that the Lord break yokes and give you a hope and let you know that no matter whatever you're going through, whether it's physically or spiritually, if you lay it all up on him, you cast all your cares upon him, maybe you just may try his spirit and he may open up the door and show you that he is your God.
Mm-hmm.
Just get out the way.
Right?
That's our biggest problem. We get in the way. Get out the way and let go and let God. Right. So with all of that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read
the book.
Read
your
Bible.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Sound of the Living Water, Sound of the Living Water, Radio Show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.